to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Amen. Are you glad to be here today? It's ringing somewhere. Maybe right there. Good. I was so excited to hear the young people of our church. They have a vision to help other people have vision. Isn't that good? That's a good saying right there. You know, in a miracle, if you want to see a miracle, you come and watch Ben at 7 o'clock in the morning. That is going to be a miracle. Am I right? I have never seen him up that early. But if he's going to be there, I think I'm going to come see you, brother. I want to see that happen. Well, God's good. Amen? You know, thank you guys so much for all that you do. You know, it makes it so easy to be a staff pastor here. Because you receive, for one thing, and another thing is you give back to us. It's not always us coming here to bless you, but it's you blessing us back. And that is so precious in our sight, Janice and I, because we feel that love coming back from you. And sometimes I even hate to get up here to give a message, especially a hard message, because it's like, Lord, I just want to love on them, and I just want to care for them. And he said, you are. Give it as hard as you can. And I said, okay, Lord, then I'll do that. Well, this is not going to be a hard message, but it's going to be a challenging message. Because I believe that we're living in some great times, and I say that every time I get up here, and I'm going to continue to say it, because we're living in greater times. How many of you glad at what God's doing in this day? You know, even though things look like they were going so bad, some of it's turning around and it's kind of going back up, but it still gives us an opportunity to witness and do the things that God's got for us to do in the future. And there's one thing we don't want to do is to lose the joy of the Lord. In the last hour of this time, we don't want to lose out on that. We want to have the things that God has got for us in this day, in this hour, to do what God has for us. Amen? Can I get a better amen? You ought to be excited about that, because God wants to use each and every one of us. And I'm going to share that today. This is about, if you got the scriptures up there somewhere, we're going to get 2 Kings chapter 6 up there. If you want to turn to it in your Bible, it would really be good, because I'd really like for you to mark some stuff in here that you can go back to later and see exactly what the Word of God says, because it will challenge you. It's challenged me over and over, because we got things to do. I'm a practical ministry type guy. Pastor Terry preaches the Word of God, and I receive it, and I go out and I practice what I heard. That keeps joy, that keeps energy in you, and it keeps a fulfillment of your life, that you know that you're not, where's being at, useless. Amen? Because that's what we got to have. Just like he was saying, and I know he said that, but he said, if you don't have your glasses on, you're pretty well useless. Well, at one time, I had to wear glasses, and when I didn't have them, I was useless. I couldn't even see how fast the speedometer was going on my dash until I got stopped one day, and I was pretty well useless. Thank God I didn't get a ticket from it. He just told me, he said, you might want to slow down a little bit. He stopped me to look at the car that I was driving, and I very rapidly showed him every piece of it to make sure he was content. But if we don't have what God's got for us, then we're going to be useless. We're going to run across things that will hurt us. We're going to run across things that will divert us from being where God wants us to be. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen? So we're going to read this. This is chapter 6 of 2 Kings, starting in verse 1. And it says, and the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may go dwell. So he answered, go. Everybody say go. Every man, and the word is go and do what God says to do. And then verse 3, then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. You know, here they're asking the prophet. They already figured out that the place that they're dwelling in is too small. They need a bigger place to go and to do things. And they said, we need to go. And he says, let every man go. And they said, go, go. Now, I like that by working with Pastor Terry. Like he said, sometimes we butt heads on some things. But one thing I've always learned, when he says go, just get up and start moving that way. You may not understand it at the time, but God will show you the way if you will get up and go. But if you sit back and you rebel and you just say, no, I'm not going to do that, that's God's not in that, then you're going to miss out on what God's saying. Amen? Now, this is one thing he'll do. He'll go with you. But let's read that verse. It says, then one said, verse 3, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. And I want to tell you, after 21 years of being at this church, every time I've ever brought a vision that I might have had or direction that I felt like God was leading me especially, and sometimes the church, because God does that too, and I've always asked him, and he says, go, and I will go with you. Now, he may not be there physically, but I know one thing, he's got his hands and his blessing on it. And that is very valuable when we start doing that, because we know that he is behind the situation. And we have also raised up other leaders in our church, and they've come here and asked, can we start this or can we start that? And every time, I'll always go talk to him, and we'll sit down and we'll say, wow, we think that's God. We need to get behind this person or these people and push whatever they're going and whatever they're doing. Let's bless them and let's go with them. I like that. That brings freedom to you. It brings a release to let you know that you are important in this church. And that's what we try to do in everything that we do. And I want you to feel important. When you have a vision and you have something that you feel like God wants you to do, if it's a God wisdom and a God thing, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to get behind you. We're going to let it go. And I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again because I know we've probably got people here that's like that. But I went to Tommy Barnett's church in Phoenix, Arizona one year. And while we were there, he was giving a seminar like during the day one time. And they had a lady that came to him and says, I go to the nursing home and they have a little lady there that has to have a wheelchair and we have no way of getting her to this church. What do we need to do? And he said, God gave you the vision, you go get her. She said, I have no way to go get her. He said, pray and believe God. And she did, and somebody gave her a handicapped van to go get that lady. Well, she went and got that lady, and while she was there, she had room for another person. So she brought both of them to the church. And that ministry began to grow so much to where literally they took the first two rows out of their whole church. And you gotta realize this is a three-story building that they're in, and it holds right at 12,000 people in that building. And they took the two front rows out of that church, and they call that the Holy Row section. And it's filled up with people in wheelchairs and hospital beds because one woman got behind a vision, and the pastor pushed it, and it's now a great ministry of that church. And besides that, some of those people that came in there on wheelchairs, or they were the ones that pushed their own wheelchair out the back door because God healed them. If you want to see a miracle, just start doing something. The Bible says everyone did that. And it says, and the prophet said, go, and I will go with you. Now, has Jesus not commanded us to do that? He says, as you are going into this world, go, and lo, I am with you always. You know, you may be sitting back today, coming in here, and you haven't done anything for the Lord lately. You haven't got involved in helping someone or doing anything. It's just been consuming about you and you taking care of yourself. And you wonder why things aren't working real good in your life. And I want to challenge you today. Go find somebody and do something for them and forget about the problems in your own life. And you'll be amazed how quick God will show up in your life. You will literally feel the presence of God. You know, I love to come in this church and worship God and just get caught up in the Spirit and just flow and listen and just do what He says do. But I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing any sweeter than being out there on that street talking to somebody about the Lord. I sold one of the cars that Janice and I had that we went and showed. It was a show car. A couple of weeks ago, we went to cruising the coast, and I told her, I said, I feel like this season for this thing is over. It's time for it to move. We're going to take it. We're going to sell it. So I put it on a trailer, brought it to Biloxi. Ended up, the guy that came and bought it, I got to witness to him for 2 hours. It took 30 minutes to sell him the car. Took 2 hours to witness to him. And besides witnessing to him, another guy wanted to swap his car for my car. And it's like, no, we're not getting another one. We're trying to get out. And he said, what are you doing? What do you do with this car? So I was able to sit there while I was waiting for the other guy for another 2 hours and witness to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. A young man that had been in prison, a young man that had been on drugs, and God has totally delivered this young man. He's set free. He told me, he said, just a week ago, he said, everything that you're telling me is confirming what someone else has already told me. And he said, I just think that's God's love that you and I parked side by side, and you're telling me this because every word that you're saying is exactly what I have already been told. But he said, some of it I was still hesitant about going into. And he said, but you have changed my mind. You know, lo, I am with you always. When we do that, we know the presence of God is right there. He is right in the midst of every bit of that. And that has nothing whatsoever to do with this sermon. But it fits there. Amen? Let's go to verse 4. So he went with them, and they came, and when they had come down to Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it into there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and he took it. You know, here's a miracle. Here's this young man that had borrowed an axe from somebody. And I've shared this in this church before about somebody borrowing my axe. I had just polished it and cleaned it, sharpened it. They borrowed it and broke the thing right off the handle just immediately. Brought it back and said, that must have been a bad handle. And it's like, okay, I'll get another one for him. You know? But he borrowed it. He knew that it was not his. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today, about the axe head. And that is a type and a shadow of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is something that is that cutting edge that we cannot do without. We can have all the training. We can have all the schooling that you want. You can have all the talents that you want. But without the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your life, you're nowhere. You're useless, Ben. It just don't work. We can't make it work. We can fool a few people, but we can never get to that spot to where the anointing cuts into the very heart and soul of people without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's this young man. Elijah founded the school. We talked about that. And there's nothing like working with the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you ever had God work in your life? And you knew that God supernaturally came in and either gave you a word, or you went somewhere, or you did something, and you knew God was in it. How many of you have done that? Amen? You know how that is. You know how that feels. Not that we put a lot of emphasis on feeling. But I'm going to tell you what, when you act in faith and you do things that God says, there is going to be feelings that's going to follow it. I still like goosebumps to run up and down my back when God's in this place. I still like God to run goosebumps up and down my arm when I know that He is so near that you can taste Him. And you can feel Him and you can smell Him in everything that you do. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. And that axe head represents the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, it's poured out to everyone. Everyone. Not just some. Not just some charismatics. Not just some Pentecostal people. But to everyone. My Bible says that in the last day that God would pour out His Spirit upon every person that will receive that. I love that. I'm going to tell you what, when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, it's been almost 40 years ago now, but I remember seeking after the things of God, and I wanted it so bad, I was going to get it no matter what. And I thought it was a it back then, but I come to find out it's not a it, it's a He. He is a person of the Holy Spirit, and He will bless you. Now, let's move on. The power of the Holy Spirit is not for keeps. We need to know that. It's not ours to keep. It's His to give us. It's His to give us. And by the way, He will let you keep it as long as you want it. As long as you're using the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's His power, not our power. But it's not there forever. The spirit of the spirit came upon Saul, and he lost it. He lost it. He had the power of God, and he lost it. Then it came upon Samson before Delilah came into his life, and then he lost it. The Bible says that he didn't even know when it left him, that he was just operating on regular, just doing what he thought was right, but he was wrong the whole time. And all at once he remembers, the Holy Ghost is not here. He is not in my life anymore. I cannot do the things that I thought that I could do again. That happens in every one of our lives when we turn away from God. There, upon David, before Bathsheba, David had the power of God before Bathsheba. And when she came on the scene, it took that away. It took that power of the Holy Spirit out of his life. It came upon Elijah before he ran from Jezebel. This one woman ran him away. I mean, he was running from her and everybody because he had such fear. And the fear is not where the Holy Spirit is. Amen? I mean, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you should not be afraid of anything or for nothing, because he, greater is he that's in here than he that's in this world. And that tells me that I'm not supposed to be fearful of anything. Ephesians says to be filled, and that literally means being refilled on a daily, hourly basis. I have to get up every day and say, Lord, I want to be filled afresh and anew today. I want to know that I'm walking in your ways, that I'm doing what you would have me to do. And I want to hear your voice as you speak, and I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, Lord, if I go and I do it on my own, I'm going to fall on my face. But, God, I want you to lead me, and I want you to guide me. Your word says that you'll be a comfort to me. Your word says that you will teach me. Your word says that you will show me all things, and you will magnify Jesus in my life. You will magnify Jesus in the things that I do, that I will give glory and honor to God. Amen? That's a good prayer for each and every one of us. He chopped without the axe head. You know, we're living in a day right now where you see a lot of people chopping without the axe head. They got a dull stick and they just basically beating wood. They're going nowhere. And how sad that is to see that happen. You know, we try to make it a point in this church to open up the altars on a regular basis for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That they will know that it's not them, but it's God working through them in everything that they do. Even our Sunday school department, we've asked our people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to spend time in prayer, to spend time studying the Word of God, because God is using them. Aren't you glad for our Sunday school teachers, our group leaders, whatever you want to call us? You know, that's what we are. But we have to be filled with the Spirit of God to know that we're doing stuff and penetrating people's hearts and their souls, and the anointing is doing what God says He will do. And that is not chopping without a stick. That's chopping with the axe head. Please don't lose the power of God upon your life. He lost the power, the training, and the talent, like I said a while ago. It'll only go so far. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit is what we need in our lives to do what God would have us to do. The power is not your own. It belongs to someone else. And we have to come to that place in our lives to where we come and we say, Lord, I have respect for you. If I've lost the edge of the Holy Spirit in my life, God, I'll have respect for that. And I want to come back and apologize and repent and say, God, I want it back. Just like David did. David said, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wickedness in me. And if there is, God, I don't want to lose the Holy Spirit, but I want that Spirit back into my life, and I want that power and that axe head that I can chop and do the things that you've called me to do. Amen? It's good to get there. In fact, the Bible even says this young man cried out, alas, Master, it came off. I lost this man's axe head. I lost it. Help me to do something. He was in a panic mode, I guess you can say, because he realized the importance that it was not going to happen without that axe head. And we have to stop and think about, in that day and age, you know, we can go to any, to Ace Hardware, True Value, wherever you want to go, Sullivan, you can go in there and buy 4 or 5 axes today. But they were living in a land where they didn't have very many metal tools to work with. You know, I thank God for the tools that I got. I got a socket that fits just about everything and different specialty tools. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a tool that we all need in our lives, and that is the tool or the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to value that and realize that it's not ours, it's been borrowed, that God says, I'm going to give it to you, here it is, don't lose it. But He had to cry out and had respect for that. You know, we need to have more respect for people. I'm a human being just like everybody else. And how many of you get frustrated once in a while? You know, and sometimes you get up and you get mad or you get frustrated and you take out your anger on someone else. And it's like, that shouldn't have happened. You know what that does? That grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, you can get up here and have people come down and you can prophesy over them all day long and give them a word from the Lord and bless them. But if you go out that door and you're ugly to somebody, you just null and voided just about everything that you just did. So that tells me that I have to be the same here as I am out there. And I have to just be that respectful here as I am out there for people. And so do you. And that's a way to honor people. How many of you know in Hebrews 13:8, the Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? And I'm convinced if you met Jesus at the Pool of Siloam, He's going to be the same as He is in the wilderness or in the tombs. He's going to speak to you. He's going to let you know that you are important, that He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and we are to respect that. Amen? We are to take that example from Him and be the same with everybody. I mean, every now and then you'll get crossways. I do with somebody. And it's like, I don't want to be around that person. Man, every time I see them, they blast me or they're mean to me. And it's like, back up. Well, I have to back up far enough for the Holy Ghost to say, go forward. It's not time to back up. It's time to go get that thing right. And you know what that means sometimes? That you may have to go apologize for something that you might have not even been wrong for. I got one good amen out of that. Maybe I need to say that. Maybe y'all didn't hear me. Sometimes you may have to go apologize for something that you did not even do wrong. But just to show that person that you're not going to change, but you're going to do what's right, and to help that person, you go and you apologize to them, even if they were ugly to you. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll be amazed how people will react to you if you'll do that. But most people won't do that. We still got people, I'm sure, in this church, just like any church, that comes in one door and they'll see somebody and they'll do this circle. They'll never get close to that person. I want to challenge you in the days to come, if you really want to be filled with the Holy Ghost and act the way God says act, that person that you've been darting and dodging from and swooing and swaying under pews or ever how you get away from them, you just start attacking that thing wide open and you go to them and you put your ever-loving arms around them. And just tell them how much you love them. And if you don't love them, fake it till you make it. Just tell them until you do learn to love them. But you know what? When we start that, the world's going to begin to look at us and say, you know what? There truly is something different about that church. There truly is something different about that person. Because did not Jesus say to love our enemies? Says, pray for those that despitefully use you. Do not run from them. Do not avoid that person, but go to them. A good thing to do is send them a card in the mail or take them out to lunch or just walk right up to them and just look straight in their eye and say, I love you with the love of the Lord. And I'm going to continue till I love you with the love of Kenny. Now, that's not my name. That's your name if you're talking to them. You do understand. He knew where he lost the axe head. The prophet came to him and he says, where did you lose it? And he knew the very spot when he come down with that axe and that head came off and it went in that water. I'm sure immediately he surmised the area and he saw maybe a tree over here and a bush over here and he was standing here and he drew a triangle possibly and he knew exactly where that iron head went into that water. Exactly. He knew the place where he lost it. And he had something to do about that when that happened. So do you and I. Sometimes we know exactly where we lost the power of God. It might have been because we haven't prayed. We haven't read the Word of God. We haven't witnessed. We haven't tithed our money. We haven't given our money in offerings. We might have quit learning things that we need to learn. We might be on a murmuring trail or a gossip trail. And we know exactly where the iron head went into the water, the axe head, the type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. Because when we do those things, immediately it grieves the Holy Spirit. And it's not that He's going to strike punishment on you, but He's hurt. And when He's hurt, then He backs out of the situation and He says, I got a lot better plan for you. I have something special for you, and you just blew it by doing what you did. And He is a perfect gentleman. He'll never come back and force Himself into our lives. But He'll let us realize where we lost the power of God, and He will begin to convict us, just like we did when we were lost and undone, and begin to show you exactly what you did and where it is. Don't you love Him about that? That He loves us enough to give us another chance to come back and to do something over that. It might have been at the last Christmas party. It might have been on the last date that you were in that you lost the power of God in your life. We got to come to that place, church, and realize every day is the day that the Lord has made. That doesn't mean that I can come and just come and go in and out. Used to have a guy I used to talk to all the time, and I'd say, well, how you been doing? Well, I just fleshed out this week. I said, you did what? He said, I fleshed out. He said, I just couldn't follow God this week, so I went out and did my own thing. I went partying and drinking and doing all this stuff. And it's like, buddy, you're standing on bad ground. Well, you think you can jump in and out of the grace of God and you flippantly act like that? That scares me when I have not the power of God in my life. Amen? It should every one of us. When we don't sense the presence of God in our life, we ought to come to that place and say, God, I want it back, and I want it back immediately. What do I need to do to get this back into my life that I can prosper and do what you have me to do? I don't have time to be fooling around. I definitely don't have time to be fleshing out. Amen? And neither do you. We got to come to that place and realize it. And let me tell you good news. You can get it back. You can get back the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that they cut a tree. The prophet cut a tree down, a little tree, and he goes over and he puts it in the water where the axe head was. And you know what happened? A miracle happened. The axe head literally floated up on top of the water. That's a miracle. To see a piece of wood go in the water and see a steel object come to the very top. And he says, there it is. Now I want you to read this scripture right here with me. Verse 6. And it says, so he cut a stick and threw it in there, and it made the iron float. And then in verse 7, he says, therefore, he said to the young man, pick it up for yourself. You see, Pastor Terry and I and these other pastors here cannot be with you every day, but the Holy Spirit can. But I want to encourage you, when the Word of God comes to you and God speaks the Holy Word, which, by the way, was written by the Holy Spirit, it's interpreted by the Holy Spirit. When you begin to pray and you begin to go do things for the Lord, He's going to tell you, you do it. I have given you authority over devils. I have given you the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit to do great exploits. And when we begin to do that as a church, we will see God do great things. It's not a one-man show, a two-man show, or ever how many pastors we got here. It's not our duty sometimes to go out and witness. It's yours. And when you go under the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the cutting edge of the axe of the Holy Ghost in your life to get some great things done. And if nothing else you get today, I want you to be encouraged that if you've lost the power of the Holy Spirit, if you don't have that sensitivity like you once had, and that compassion for other people, and that caring for other people, you can get that back, because that is a move, a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you don't have real peace and joy in your life, and you don't see God and hear God on a daily basis, it's not that you're over. It's not that you're done. You just need to come back and let's get it going again. And it happens by the same way that we got the other things going in our life. Samson lost the power of God, his axe head. Samson, a mighty man of God, and he didn't even know when it left. He lost his strength. Listen to this. He lost his strength. He lost his sight. He lost his hair. He lost his... And I lost mine, but I'm still under the power of God. Amen. He lost his identification as God's child. He was a slave going around and around, blinded by the things of this world. Blinded. Here's a man that God was using in an enormous way, and he lost it. You know, he needed some glasses that he could see 20/20. But he needed the Holy Ghost back in his life, because that's what gives us sight. And I've shared my testimony so many times in here, I'm not going to do it again. But, you know, when God healed my physical eyes after 9 months of blindness, He healed my spiritual eyes after 30 years of being blind. Because I was blinded to the things of God until the Holy Spirit came and quickened that. And He will still sharpen your vision even today. He will bring back the strength and the vision that you have for what He's got for you. God has got a purpose for each and every one of us in this building, and He wants to do great things in you. And if it takes me and Pastor Terry or anybody else to prod you, to let you know, you are loved by God. You are important to God. God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life, and He's got a plan for your kids. And if you begin to do what God says to do, you're going to see some great things that's going to happen. Amen? It's good to come to that place and realize that. But you know what Samson did? He felt a little bit of fuzz up there one day. I haven't felt fuzz up here in about 10 years. But he felt up there, and he felt a little fuzz coming back. And then he was probably looking. His sight probably never came back. But he was treading at that meal like a donkey, grinding that meal every day while they were mocking him and jeering at him. You're the great strong one. Look at you now. You're no more than a burden, a beast of burden. You're nothing. You're nothing in this world. But Samson just kept on walking. And you know what he did? He came back to the Lord and he said, Lord, just give me one more chance. Not two, but just one more time. One more time, God. Just let me have your power. And the Bible says that his strength began to come back. And then he goes in that temple where these people were mocking him, and they brought him out to make sport of him. And he comes there, and some little kid had led him in there, and he said, partner, he said, I want you to put one of my hands on a column in here, and I want you to take this hand and put it on the other column. And he did. And the Bible says that he reached and he grabbed those columns, and he pulled them down and killed more in his death than he ever did in his life. One more time. And you say, wow, you're going to give an altar call that I'll come and be killed? No. I'm going to give you an altar call that you will come and be filled with God's Spirit. To know that God is in your life. See, we don't have to wait till our death to bring people to the Lord. God wants us to do it while we're alive. Now, He can do it in our death. And that's great that He can do that. But He wants to do it now. While we have a voice that we can speak forth. We have eyes that will look and penetrate into the hearts and souls of people. And we have a heart that literally beats and moves with compassion for those people. And feel the hurt of those people. Amen? Have you lost the power of God? If y'all, the music team, would y'all come back? Or just one of you, maybe play the keyboard or something. Have you lost the power of God in your life? Is something begin to tingle in your life today? You feel maybe a little hair coming back, maybe a little strength coming back in your arm. And it's like, you know what? I've been away from doing some of the things that God's told me to do so long that I need to come back. I need to take a step of faith today. And I need to come back and say, Lord, I need you. And I want that fresh move of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying you can get back the power today. You can get back the healing today that the devil has tried to rob from you. And you can also get back the peace that God has for you. I know that there are people that's in churches all over this world. They don't have that inner peace in their life every day. They get up with turmoil. They get up with fear. They get up with anxiety. They get up with things that just torment them. Even in the middle of the night hours where they stay up all night long being confronted, the devil's just bombarding them with things. I want you to stand to your feet if you would. Thank you, Lord. You say, well, how do we get that back? How do we get back our axe head? You know, the Bible says that Elijah took a stick and he cut it. He put it in that water and that piece of iron floated. Well, I want you to know an analogy the same way. Jesus, they cut a stick and made a cross out of it. And they put Jesus on that cross. And when they did, it gave us the right to receive the Holy Spirit. It was a supernatural thing there by knowing the power of God through His blood and what He did on the cross. He's the one that paid the price, and He's the one that sends the Holy Spirit. He's the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit. We do that by repenting. We come to that place and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've been away from You. God, I'm sorry that I've done it on my own. I've been chopping without an axe head. And God, I need Your power back in my life again. We do that by seeking. And that is listening to the Word of God. To know what the Scripture said about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Know what the Scripture says about being prosperous. Know what they say about being healed and have the power of God in our lives. Seeking. Another thing, it says thirsting. That we got to get hungry and thirsty after the things of God. Did not the Beatitudes that says, blessed is a man who thirsts after the things of God, because if he does, he'll be filled. And they hunger after the things. And I want to ask you today, have you thirsted and hungered? Do you have that longing in your life to where you're just not satisfied till you have what God's got for you? That you know that He is the one that can fill every void, that He's the one that can fill that taste. He is the living water. He is the bread of life that will feed you of everything that we need. Another one is praying. We get the power back by praying. Get on a regular time where you go and pray and you seek God and you ask God, what do You want me to do? God, not only do I want You to meet my needs, but I'm coming today not to ask and bring out my petition list, but God, I'm coming today to thank You for everything that You've done in my life. God, forgiving me eternal life, forgiving me joy, forgiving me peace, forgiving me health, forgiving me sight to see and a taste and all the senses, everything that we have. We do that by doing that. And if any of these things touch you, I want you to come. Just come on down. We're going to have just a short time, and I want you guys to come down here and just, I want this church to be filled with the Holy Spirit and know that we have the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you're here in your marriage, maybe even things just hadn't been real happy at home, it's time to get those things right and to come and say, God, I want things working in my family. I want things to happen in my life that I know that You're in the middle of it. Another thing is get involved. Get involved. Find a ministry somewhere and go get plugged into it. Just go in there and say, I don't know what to do, but I want to do something. I want to help to do something to further the kingdom of God. I want you to come. Y'all come on. Come on.
right there right now, I want you to just lift your hands and say, God, fill me afresh and new. It says they did that in the book of Acts, and the Bible says the place was shaken with the power of the Lord. See, you can ask the Lord to fill you fresh and new today. Say, Lord, I want to be fresh. I want to be fresh bread for a world that's hungry. I don't want to be stale anything. I want to be fresh bread. Just say, Lord, make, Lord, a fresh touch on my life today. God, touch me, Lord. Fresh, Lord, today. Come on. Say, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord. I exalt thee. Come on.